The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network on the air and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Miller Lite, United Airlines, and University of Phoenix.
A pleasant good evening to you from the Score Downtown Studios. This is another edition of Bears All Access brought to you by Sports Authority. 85 Bear Tom Thayer is with me. I'm Zach Zaidman. Former Bears quarterback Jim Miller will join us shortly, and you can too eventually at 312-644-6767. A little bit later on in the program, we will be giving away a gift certificate to Sports Authority. To the best caller of our Sports Authority Best Caller of the Show segment, where we go rapid fire with football questions for both Tom Thayer and Jim Miller. And there's a lot to discuss, an action-packed hour of Bears football, NFL stuff. And Tom, let's begin with this. Let's start with what you learned watching what I think is the best weekend of football, which was the weekend that just passed, where we saw just tremendous games across the board, both in the AFC and the NFC. And I guess, how can you talk football? How can you talk playoffs without mentioning what happened in that Green Bay-Arizona game?
Yeah, you know, I don't know which way to look at it, because I'm not a Green Bay fan, but I'm a fan of football. And you like to see you really admire seeing the resiliency and the belief of a guy like Aaron Rodgers, that he believes that a team, even though they get down, they're never really out of it. And then with all the adversity that they faced this year, from the beginning when they lost Jordy Nelson to the running back and the offensive line scenarios that they lived through this season, that, you know, it was a good showing. And it brought the game, obviously, right down to the end, and controversy to the end of the game. But, just the quarterback play at this stage of the NFL season is really something to watch, because, you know, you have the high-profile guys of Cam Newton, of Carson Palmer, Aaron Rodgers, Peyton Manning, no one can forget about Tom Brady. But it is, you know, the importance of that role at this stage in the NFL season. And you see these guys with great consistency during the regular season. Even Peyton Manning faces a huge hiccup during the course of the regular season, and then he stays mentally prepared to the end of the season, and then gets himself more physically prepared so he can withstand the punishment of the game. I think it's interesting to watch the factors of the quarterback position at this stage of the season. For every team, it's that role is as important as any role on the football team.
I think the thing that stands out to me about the quarterback play, and I don't think you necessarily have to be, quote, an elite quarterback in order to win a championship, but you have to play the position at an elite level come playoff time if you expect to be hoisting that Vince Lombardi trophy. See, to me, that's the thing that stands out about all these guys, and whether it's the ability to make smart decisions, not turn the football over, as well as, and this is something that we don't talk often enough about, but I think it stood out to me throughout the Bears season, and I believe it's the key going forward to taking the offense to the next level, Tom, the ability to put touchdowns on the board when you get inside the red zone. If you don't do it, you're not going to win.
Right, but you know, it's kind of, Zach, it's a judgment of two types of elites. What elite do you want? Do you want the Tom Brady, Carson Palmer, Peyton Manning eliteness mentally that they have of the game? Or do you want the athleticism, the eliteness of a quarterback like Cam Newton, where you can actually call running plays that he's going to be the ball carrier, and you know it when you call the play? And whether it's in the red zone or the regular field of play, you use his athleticism as his greatest asset. But when you get into a real tight area of throwing into the red zone, do you like the mental eliteness of the quarterbacks that I mentioned? And that's some of the things that we're going to learn as this season winds on. Is it going to be the ability of Cam Newton to carry that football team offensively, because he's just as effective in his running ability as he is in his ability to throw the ball? Or is it going to be the supreme thinking of Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Carson Palmer, and these other guys that that we're able to see and that we're able going to see, you know, how they factor in the outcome of the games this week. And, you know, I think it's interesting because even when Seattle got down by as much as they did, it was still the athleticism of Russell Wilson that allowed Seattle to have the threatening aspect of that portion of their offense at the line of scrimmage because of his athleticism. And so I do still think that, you know, what is the final judgment of the quarterback position going to be? Is it going to be the athleticism, or is it going to be the mental, the mental aspect of the rest of the guys?
See, here's the thing, though. I think most evaluators, and I think you're probably on board with this as well, you would love to have the ability of Cam Newton or Russell Wilson in terms of the elusiveness that they have, their ability to be mobile as well as throw the big pass in the big moment. But once you start going on the move, you're just putting yourself in a situation where you're shortening, I think, the shelf life of the quarterback's career because those hits eventually pile up. You know, you look at a guy like Cam Newton, and while he's been fantastic, how much longer do you think he can play at that level, taking the hits that he takes on a consistent basis? And the same question gets asked in regards to Russell Wilson. You know, this was the first year where, because the protection up front wasn't what it was early on in his career, he was taking some shots. And I think it's tough for a quarterback to survive that over the duration of his career. You're not going to have the long Peyton Manning career or Tom Brady career if you're taking shots the way Newton and Russell Wilson have this season.
I agree with you, Zach. I think that every hit is dangerous to a quarterback. Every hit is dangerous to a running back or a wide receiver because you see how physical the defensive players are nowadays. But when I watch a guy like Tom Brady, it doesn't matter where you are defensively because Tom Brady knows where you are offensively so well, so defined, in his passing ability is so crisp that it doesn't matter where you are defensively because he's in tune with the offense and he's not going to be reliant about his escapability or extending a play because he's got to make sure he can see where the receiver is. And I think sometimes that's what's haunting to a guy like Cam Newton is he has to confirm and verify where the receivers are going to be, and then sometimes he makes a last-minute throw that is an incredible effort by on those standards. But you have a guy like Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, and Aaron Rodgers and the rest of these crew, even Carson Palmer at this point, because he knows where his receivers are going to be and he can throw the ball to that spot so accurately, it doesn't matter where the defensive player is because they have a difficult time in their coverage responsibility. So to me, that's why I keep going back to the mental aspect or the mental ability of the quarterback because they are so sharp with where their personnel, it doesn't matter where the opponent is across the line of scrimmage.
Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Zaidman. This is Bears All Access brought to you by Sports Authority. And let's bring in the quarterback expert to the show. It would be the former Bears quarterback, Jim Miller. And Jim, it was 14 years ago this week where you and your teammates helped close down Old Soldier Field. I know it's not a good memory what happened in that game, but you were able to get the team into the playoffs. That game against Donovan McNabb and the Eagles. We're not going to talk about how it ended and all that kind of stuff, but you were able to get the Bears to the playoffs. Eventually, you ended up winning a championship with the New England Patriots. And, you know, Tom and I were kind of reviewing what's transpired in the NFL playoffs, and the thing that stands out is the elite-level quarterback play that we're seeing across the board. And, you know, you can't escape it. You can talk about all the different things that you need to build a team and make a team successful, but ultimately to win a championship, you need to have that quarterback playing at such an extremely high level in these big postseason games.
Well, there's no doubt, and I think experience matters. It's proven. You know, this is Tom Brady's 10th AFC championship game. You know, and obviously Peyton Manning's no stranger to postseason play. Did Gary Kubiak even hesitate to reinstate Peyton Manning? Of course he didn't. All that experience lining up under center. Carson Palmer's played a long time, and certainly how Cam Newton, now a couple years back-to-back, he makes the playoffs. He's no stranger to it as well. So that position is the most critical position in any team's building. And if you can develop a quarterback the right way, you'll have a shot to always return to postseason. You know, Cam now, think of young quarterbacks like Cam Newton or Russell Wilson now making the playoffs a couple of times. You know, what's going to happen to these guys when they face each other 10, 15 years down the road? Because that's where I see these guys playing. They're going to be consistently how they've turned the corner going on, you know, just how much they've learned. And they're just going to get better and better and learn from these experiences in postseason play.
You know, it's interesting that you
tremendous position.
It's really interesting how you say that, Jim, because the Bears now have a quarterback who's in his young 30s, but a guy who's gotten a ton of experience. And I think last year you saw the light kind of come on with Jay Cutler, and you saw him take the mental aspect of the game to the next level. What's next in regards to Cutler heading into this season? And also, you mentioned some interesting things about Cam Newton and Russell Wilson. Do you anticipate them playing at this level 15 years from now if they continue to take the hits that we've seen them take so far this season? We'll discuss next. Jim Miller is here. So is Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zaidman. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, a unique TV show hosted by Anthony Adams and Lauren Screeden and brought to you by Jimmy John's. Inside the Bears airs every Sunday night at 10:35 on Fox 32 Chicago, or visit chicagobears.com/insidethebears to check out show segments anytime. And I'm told this week on Inside the Bears, the incredible journey Bears safety Harold Jones-Quarte took to the NFL. Taio Fabaluje is in the passenger seat for big guys in compact cars. Jim, that's something that Tom, every week he tells me, he wants to join AA in that car. There's just no room. Also, we'll introduce you to a married couple of Bears fans who met while serving our country during World War II. Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, Jim Miller with you here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. And, you know, the thing that stands out as we talk about the playoffs and look ahead to what the Bears need to do heading into the offseason, into next season, is the quarterback play. You can't escape it. It's the most important thing. But, you know, you brought up, Jim, that I found very interesting, that there's certain ways you have to play the position. And Cam Newton and Russell Wilson do it a little differently than, say, Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. And while they've all been successful doing it, the question I have, longevity-wise, can you do it the way Manning and Brady are doing it and be Cam Newton and Russell Wilson? Because you're taking hits nonstop, especially this year with Russell Wilson. And while Newton is a big guy, Jim, he's taking hits. A lot of them.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. He's such a red zone threat. I mean, look at his ability to run the football. I do think this about Cam. He is very smart, and we do a weekly with Ron Rivera, the head coach of the Carolina Panthers, on Sirius XM radio, and he says he is very conscious about when to get down. He knows when it's a go-for-it situation, meaning I've got to get the first down, and he's going to lower his shoulder, and he's 6'5", 250. I mean, you don't want to take that element of the game out of Cam Newton either, because he is such a threat with his legs. You see how they run the spread option and all the things down there. But I will say this, as he moves on his career, he's going to become a much more polished pocket passer. You know, clearly Brady and Manning don't run around even in their early years, but they don't even scramble like that anymore because they're so efficient at reading defenses, reading coverages, diagnosing blitzes, and they become even more productive pocket passers. And Cam is going to get better at that as well. Believe it or not, Cam Newton, in terms of reading the blitz and gutting it, he's third in the NFL. Carson Palmer's too. So here you got a fifth-year quarterback who is starting to get it from the neck up as well in Cam Newton. So he may get beat up physically, but I think in the latter part of his career, he's going to become a much more pocket passer as he continues to develop and diagnosing defenses moving forward, would be my opinion.
Hey, Jim, do you think that the Bears fans should be more encouraged when they watch the older Peyton Manning, the older Tom Brady, and the older Carson Palmer, and how that fits with the 30-year-old Jay Cutler? Because don't you feel that there's more similarities between those three quarterbacks rather than the development and the way Cam Newton is going through his growing pains? And do you think that is more of an encouraging sign from what Jay was able to do this year, what his future is going to bring, and then you look at the age and what these quarterbacks are able to accomplish at this stage in their career?
No, I agree, and I don't think any team would hesitate right now. If you, let's say, on a last contract, if you're given a quarterback a 5-year deal or a 4-year deal at 34 years old, because you've seen quarterbacks have success latter part of the years. This isn't even, think about the elder statesman quarterbacks in this playoffs in the 2016 season here, or the 2016 playoffs here. This is not even the oldest group that's ever played as a whole. Go back to when Chris Chandler and Randall Cunningham and all those, Vinny Testaverde was in the playoffs at that point. So it's proven that it's happened in the past as well. So I think it's encouraging. I still think Jay Cutler hasn't played his best football. This was his most efficient year, I think, as a quarterback. But he should feel encouraged with what Brady, Manning, Carson Palmer, what these guys have achieved at the latter parts of years of their careers, and he should strive for that. He knows he's capable of it because Jay, in terms of athleticism, he'd be more athletic than any of those guys when you look at Carson, Brady, or Tom Brady and Manning would be my opinion. He's got the arm to boot. So if I'm Jay Cutler, he's got to be encouraged by that.
I think the thing that, listening to you talk, that's encouraging heading into the offseason is the fact that Cutler's scratching the surface, I think, of what he can be. And as we're finding out, you can get better as you get older at the quarterback position. But the thing that stands out to me, you know, now with the new offensive coordinator in Dowell Loggins, based on some of the success that the Bears had from an offensive standpoint last year, how do they get better in the red zone? Was it merely personnel, or do the Bears need to have Cutler even raise the level of play more so when he gets inside the 20?
I do think personnel affected him. I mean, when you're missing Martellus Bennett and Alshon Jeffrey's not 100%, they didn't have a full deck every single week. They're playing with a half a deck of cards, basically. So you have to be more pinpoint in your passes, communicate better, all those type of things, and still play good situational football that, hey, if we don't get the ball in the zone, not that you want to settle for field goals, but you want to be able to come away with points. And I think Jay Cutler was very good at that this year. I do think personnel was a big part of it. Because you're thinking about it, it's the first year of an offense that's been installed, getting everybody caught up to speed, and then you had young players to boot that were doing it due to all the injuries. So, you know, at some point you have to be realistic and just say there's a lot of inner working parts going on here, and nobody's Superman. It takes time. It takes time to install that. I go back and I bring back the offense of Ben McAdoo, and when he arrived for the New York Giants, that offense looked terrible for about 10 weeks. You know, Eli's been in the same system. Kevin Gilbride moves on. Now it's a new system, and they looked atrocious. Now look how far it is in year two and what Eli Manning has been able to accomplish. And I think the Bears can have that same success with Jay Cutler year two in their offense. They'll continue to build and grow and get better.
You know what I'm interested to see about the red zone of the Bears offense in the future is you have the development of Zach Miller. If, depending upon what happens to Alshon Jeffrey, and if you have a healthy Kevin White, all these pieces that if you put more size in the red zone, your targets are more identifiable, I think. And then if you think, well, I mean, we've all learned about the talents of Zach Miller's catching ability and the rest of the guys out there. I think if Jay did go out there with a full complement of red zone targets that are your 6'4" and above type targets. And it's no slight against Eddie Royal or Mark Mariani or the rest of the crew. But again, if you can go out there and you put those big bodies in the red zone, all of a sudden they're taking up more space in those tight alleys to throw the ball. And it's definitely helpful to Cutler because they've had the luxury of living through the success of Matt Forte, and now you hopefully that Jeremy Langford will carry the torch the same way. But again, those receivers at or near the line of scrimmage going downfield, it's got to be helpful to a quarterback in those tight areas.
One of the things that Tom mentioned earlier in talking with Jim, and Jim, you talked about how you have a weekly spot with Ron Rivera, the Panthers head coach, the former Bear, and you know, it's interesting listening to Ron Rivera talk about the influence that Mike Ditka has had on his career. And Tom, you played for Coach Ditka. It was 34 years ago this week that George Halas tapped Ditka to be the man to coach the Bears, and he was able to bring him back into prominence, winning Super Bowl 20. What is it about Mike Ditka that still resonates with you, with all of you guys today, and why has he had such a powerful impact on your lives, even post-football?
Because because it's respect. It's how much respect that you had for Coach Ditka when he became a head coach in the NFL, because he was successful at every level as a player, as an assistant coach, and then he had some great influences by Tom Landry. And then he had such admiration by Coach Halas that you knew that Mike Ditka had left some type of mark on these coaches, that they had great belief in him. But he's also a guy that was tough in his own right, and you could see footage of him and his determination after he caught the football, or what he was willing to do as a blocker, or going through the growing pains of a developing coach by coaching the special teams in Dallas. It was, I think, that every single player, offense, defense, special teams, they had a tremendous amount of respect for Coach Ditka. And it seems like that's some of the controversies when you talk about some of the coaches, or even the coaches that come and go in the NFL, is they may gain respect from one side of the ball, but it's tough to regain respect in the other side of the ball, and then the players that play on special teams. Because Coach Ditka was in the special teams meetings and ran the projector. He was in the offensive meetings, and he ran the projector. He wasn't an untouchable part of it. He was an in-your-face type of guy. And if you could gain the respect of a guy like Mike Ditka from all of his years of experience in the NFL at every phase, that you kind of felt more confidence about yourself. But it was something that you had to earn every day. It wasn't something that you earned at the beginning of your time and then you had it the rest of your career. It was something that every Wednesday, Thursday, through the game on Sunday or Monday that you came in there, that you had to earn Coach Ditka's respect every day.
Jim, you played for Bill Belichick. He seems like a guy who's really involved in every aspect of football on game day and throughout the week.
Yeah, no, he is. And, you know, just finishing up on Ditka there, I just think that the great respect. And that's one of the things. I respect Bill Belichick, you know, in the same regard, because the passion to compete and to win. I think Ditka, number one, you saw it as a football player, even the cuts, you know, for me growing up as a kid, and just the fearlessness of him, and it's all to win. He's a fierce competitor. And you saw it as a head coach, too. He wasn't shy about showing his emotion, you know, but it was all in the effort to win, because he's a fierce competitor. And Belichick's the same way. He is a fierce, fierce competitor. You know, you may not see the emotions or the screaming or the explosions on the sideline that Ditka displayed. Bill's just not that type of guy. But I've sat in meetings every day for a whole season where he ran our quarterback meetings. I can tell you this, that guy is a fierce competitor who wants to win.
And I can tell you,
geared towards winning.
I can tell you from being on the sidelines on game day, John Fox heavily involved in every aspect of the football team. You know, he came in, people thought he was just a defensive guy, but he is very much involved on special teams. He is very much involved from an offensive standpoint, even at times suggesting plays to Adam Gase and Jay Cutler throughout the season on game day, plays that would end up working moments after he suggested them. We've got Jim Miller. We've got Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zaidman, Bears All Access. We're going to take your phone calls coming up. 312-644-6767. Line them up. We've got a gift certificate to Sports Authority on the line for the best caller of the segment. Anything that you want to ask Tom Thayer or Jim Miller in regards to the Bears or the NFL is fair game. That's next right here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The official tablet app of the Chicago Bears, Bears Daily, powered by Xfinity, is now available for free download. Search Bears Daily for the latest news, videos, photos, and more. Zach Zaidman alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer, as well as former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. In mere moments, we will begin the Sports Authority Best Caller of the Show segment, where we go rapid fire with your phone calls. Anything in the world of football, Bears, NFL, whatever you want, we go rapid fire. Your questions for Tom and Jim at 312-644-6767. We will award that best caller a gift certificate to Sports Authority. Again, 312-644-6767. Before we get to your phone calls, though, Jim, I wanted to hit this with you, because Rex Ryan, the Bills have hired a full-time female assistant coach. It's the first time that's happened in NFL history. Catherine Smith is her name. How is this going to change the NFL going forward?
I think it, you know, obviously to have the first full-time females is a huge step, you know. And I do believe this, and Bruce Arians touched on it because they hired a young lady, you know, as assistant linebackers coach, and that was through training camp. And that's somewhat has started. And it even goes back to the Pittsburgh Steelers. When I was with the Steelers in, I think it was 95, they had hired the first female trainer, and she joined us. She was from Arizona State, and she was in the training room helping John Norwick, who that time was, or still is, the head trainer of the Pittsburgh Steelers. So it has happened in the past. I've talked to Amy Trask, the former CEO of the Oakland Raiders. She does think there will be more opportunities for females moving forward. But just from a player's perspective of hearing from a female coach who is coaching you, I don't think players care. They just want you to... You know, if you can make me better as a player, I don't think, you know, where it gets communicated from or who is teaching you, it doesn't matter, male or female. Because there's a lot of coaches right now, male coaches, that have never even played football, you know, or played at the NFL level, or some not even at the college level. But yet they're coaching in the National Football League. So, you know, it shouldn't be just for them. Females get an opportunity like Karen Smith. But I would think how she teaches, how she disseminates her message, and do players perceive her? Is she making me better as a football player? If she's not, players will tune her out. If she is, of course they'll listen to that message if you know you're improving and getting better.
And, you know, just to amplify that a little bit, I think if you have to be mentally prepared, because most of these guys understand the physical challenges of their position or what they've done to get themselves even to be considered to be an NFL player. But I've seen a lot of guys that have great physiques out there that make mental mistakes, and that is the deciding factor whether they can make it or not. So I think whether your coach is male, female, it doesn't matter. If they are getting you mentally prepared in a perfect understanding of what your requirements are, I don't think it matters. And I admire him for getting the right coach in there, not someone who looks the part, but a person that's going to get you mentally prepared to play your position correctly.
All right, let's begin the festivities. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. A gift certificate to Sports Authority is on the line. We're going to go rapid fire with all of your phone calls for the Bears and the NFL. When we put you on board, please just direct your question to either Tom or Jim, because we don't want them talking at the same time. And we know that you have a specific person that you want to talk to when you call the show here at Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. So we'll start with Larry in Cary. Larry, you are on Bears All Access. Good evening.
Yeah, good evening, guys. Hey, Tom, I was just wondering how big of a setback is it to lose your offensive coordinator going into the offseason into next year?
I think it would be more of a setback if they didn't hire a person that's familiar with the terminology, has a complete understanding of the offense, understands exactly what the objectives of the head coach is according to his offensive game planning, the way he likes to scheme things. I don't think it's going to be a setback at all. I actually think that the Bears can take a quick step forward or continue the process that they started last year. I think Dow Loggins has a good understanding of Jay's work habits and all the quarterbacks for that matter, and I think he has a great understanding of everything they want to do offensively in the terminology aspects first, because it's so difficult to master a terminology of a new offense that if you're trying to bring in a whole new phraseology of the way you call the play, it would be a setback to everybody. But I think it was a very good decision by the Bears to continue the process moving forward like they did last year, whether it's Adam Gase or Dow Loggins.
Hey, Tom, I got a quick question here before we go back to the calls at 312-644-6767. A gift certificate to Sports Authority is on the line for the best caller of the segment. What do you make of Kyle Long being a Pro Bowl player again, the first Bears offensive lineman to make the Pro Bowl in his first three seasons in the NFL?
You know, I think it's exciting for Kyle. It's got to be. What an honor that is. I mean, and then the difficulty of changing positions 1 week before the season started. But I think it's also an understanding of what Kyle's future can be at this position. Did he play his best football this year that he's going to play throughout his career at the offensive tackle position? Definitely not. But do you see a guy that's able to take over the reins at the right tackle position with 4 days' notice against one of the better teams in your division, Houston, be able to hold his own throughout the season, even though he had some mistakes. But I do think it's the respect of his athleticism and his dedication to the position where he's going. And I think that's going to be the exciting thing for the Bears fans to watch. Kyle is the future, and his ability and his desire to master that position over a period of time.
In a simple way, can you help give us an understanding of the things that he has to work on going forward at right tackle?
It's confidence in your abilities, making sure that you have confidence that your feet are going to be able to work with your hands, making sure that you keep your head up and you understand where you're trying to strike your opponent. And then when you get your hands to him, make sure that you keep them on him. And because one thing about Kyle, he has superior strength. You see him do things with his ability to move opponents out of position or get linebackers off of their track just by throwing a hand out to him. When he understands the nuances of the position, how he's working with a tight end, an H-back, an offensive guard, or a fullback, and how they all fit together. Again, what he was able to do this year, knowing nothing about the position, is going to, I think, be incredible what he's going to be able to do once he learns the position. So he has all the tools. It's about, I always say, offensive work is repetitiously done. So when he gets the chance to run that slant 45 another 50, 100, 200 times, he's going to understand all the facets of it that he needs to know during the game. It's going to make him a more confident player, and then he's going to play with better strength and speed because he knows exactly what he's doing, and he's taking the thinking out of it.
Long is one of the young core players for the Bears going forward. So are Eddie Goldman and Adrian Amos. Both were named to the All-Rookie team this past week. 312-644-6767. The Sports Authority Best Caller of the Show segment continues with a gift certificate to Sports Authority on the line. Remember, when we put you on, make sure you address either Tom or Jim with your question. Let's go to Schomburg. Timothy, you're on Bears All Access.
Thank you. Hey, Tom, this question is for you, and probably Jim can answer it too. When you watch the New England Patriots offensive line, they're getting better each week. And it seems like, Tom, whether it's the offensive line doing the things that they're doing, is it the offensive line that is allowing him to basically not take any hits, or is it something that he's doing that's helping out the offensive line? Because it seems like he doesn't take any hits unless he's trying to run the ball.
I'll let Jim answer longer, but I just think that his superior knowledge of the offense in the exact whereabouts at the conclusion of every play he calls, it takes a little pressure off of the offensive line because he gets rid of the ball so quickly. Something that you used to see of Peyton Manning early in his career in Indianapolis, that he could make average offensive linemen a lot better because he has such superior knowledge at the line of scrimmage. But, Jim, you know more about that than I do.
Yeah, you're right, Tom. I mean, they timed him even last week against Kansas City. He was getting the ball out of his hand in 2.1 seconds.
Wow.
I mean, the pass rush can't get there. And Edelman, getting him back helps out because he's so good at the fast pass. They don't even attempt to run the ball because they're 30th in the NFL. He's always getting them in the right play at the line of scrimmage. So you factor all those in. He's at the top of his game right now. But Edelman is the key. They are 15-0. When Edelman's in the lineup. They were 2-4 when Edelman was out. So we can focus on Gronk all we want, but that fast pass is really spurned by Edelman because he's so cat quick with his quick twitch in those little option routes and out routes and crossing routes where Tom gets it out of his hands so fast.
Jim, who's more uncoverable? Is it Gronk or is it Edelman?
I think they're both difficult, you know, because Gronk is the typical mismatch. You know, here, you know, Zach brought up the point about Jay Cutler in the red zone. It is all mismatches. That's, you know, you're trying to focus on really diagnosing the weak link of a defense. And Gronk does that because he can be an inline tight end. He can line up in the flex set. He can line up outside the numbers as a wide receiver. You know, even go back to the Super Bowl. Remember the first go route he ran right past linebacker K.J. Wright? And then you come back the last drive that New England scored on. K.J. Wright was so worried about getting beat deep, he plays off. And then Gronk runs a 10-yard stop route for a key third down, first down for the New England Patriots. So he's a mismatch nightmare, whether it's linebackers, whether it's safeties, and even if you put a corner on him, he just mauls him because he's so big and physical at 6'7", you know, 265 pounds. And then Edelman, I don't know how to say it. You try to combo coverage him inside and out. And they've got what we call, you know, the, They got these coverage beaters that are automatically built in to the New England Patriots offense. What do I mean by combo coverage? If let's say I'm going to in and out him with a nickelback and a linebacker. Linebacker's inside, the nickelback will play outside technique on the slot, and you try to in and out Julian Edelman to stop those crossing routes and out routes and things like that. So now he just runs a stick route where he'll run up right in the middle of those two defenders, and if he's even, he's leaving, meaning he'll take it on a seam route. And so that's how you beat a combo coverage, or you stick it real quick and come back to the quarterback. And they're so good at running it, and Tom is just meticulous in how he wants things run. And as I mentioned, he always gets them in the right play. All those audibles and things at the line of scrimmage, that's just Tom Brady always getting it done, getting them in the right play.
Our final contestant here on the Sports Authority Best Caller of the Show segment is Chris at Midway. Chris, you're on Bears All Access.
Great show, guys. I guess this can go to both of you guys. As an offensive player, all that stuff that was happening in the Pittsburgh game and Cincinnati and the game that was with Carolina, as someone on the offensive line and a quarterback, where does the responsibility of you guys to step in and say, hey, you know, cut this crap out before you get a personal foul and cost the game?
You know, to me, I have to look at position coach and head coaches, because the players can say so much to another player, but it doesn't have the same effect on him that it does coming from the top. And I was disappointed to see the way some of the things happened at the end of the game, because it's extremely selfish. But you know, those are the really expensive lessons that are learned by teams that have a lack of discipline in some of the most meaningful times. If you're still talking about the end of this Cincinnati game.
Yeah, it was, you know, it's unfortunate. Like I said, the other games where every team conducted themselves as professionals, like we always said, sportsmanship, the respect for the game, all those things factor in that these players and coaches have to think about. Two, I'd say this. The officials got to control it on the field as well. That's why they're there, to control the game. And if it's getting out of hand, here's all they have to do. Marvin Lewis, I get one more thing from your player, he's gone. And then you tell the opponent as well, to Mike Tomlin, one more thing out of either of your players, he's gone too. And then the coaches have to step in and they explain it to the player. We need your head in the game, otherwise you can come stand next to me on the sideline. And coaches have done that before as well, where you take a player out and just say, you need to cool down because you are costing this football team, because that's ultimately what it's about. It's about the team, and I thought you saw what was displayed, a lot of selfish behavior, and it actually cost Cincinnati that ball game because they lost their cool when they should have been thinking about the team and what comes first.
Yeah, long offseason in Cincinnati and already changes. They lose their offensive coordinator. Hugh Jackson is now the head coach of the Cleveland Browns. All right, time to award a winner. It was a terrific segment, a lot of good phone calls. I'm going to go with Timothy in Schaumburg as our winner, because he was talking about the Patriots offense, and to listen to both of you guys break down what is necessary at the position and to go along with what makes them so good. I'm going to give Timothy from Schaumburg the gift certificate to Sports Authority. And you guys were talking about who's more valuable. Is it, you know, Julian Edelman, or is it Rob Gronkowski? We've seen someone do what Edelman has done in Wes Welker. We've never seen a player do what Rob Gronkowski can do. And if you give me a choice to just have one, I'm taking Gronk every time. More with Tom Thayer and Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zaidman. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Give your biggest little Bears fan exclusive access when they become a Chicago Bears Kids Club MVP. Brought to you by Papa John's. New kits are available now at chicagobears.com/kidsclub. 85 Bear Tom Thayer is along. I'm Zach Zaidman. So is Bears quarterback Jim Miller. He is with us as well. And, you know, guys, I've been getting a couple of questions here on Twitter in regards, and I know you saw this, Jim, and I know you saw this, Tom, about the former Pittsburgh Steeler, Antoine Randall L., telling the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette that, quote, if I could go back, I wouldn't play football. You guys played football. You make your living off of football. When you hear a comment like that, what goes through your mind? We'll start with Tom and then go to Jim.
Well, you know, first of all, he said that he was drafted by the Chicago Cubs in baseball, and I think it's kind of naive to think that he was a guarantee to make the big leagues because it's such a struggle to go through the minor league divisions to make it up there and just to assume that you are good enough to make that. And, you know, to me, it's, you know, you have to consider the big picture of all your options in life. And I always say this and I always repeat it, is my dad worked 43 years outdoors every day of his life, and he ended up with two artificial knees, two bad shoulders, two open heart surgeries, and a blue collar work life that took a huge toll on him. So I mean, because of the whole goal of playing football in my life, it gave me an opportunity to go to college. It gave my brother an opportunity to go to college. We were both able to graduate. And yeah, some of the commitments you make to sports will have an effect on your life. But anything you do is going to have an effect on your life, whether it's working outdoors or going through the desires to be a professional athlete. And, you know, it seems like everybody always wants to talk about the woe is me portion of it rather than the good things it was able to do for me in my life, but the struggles I've seen my mom and dad go through their whole life and being, you know, of a blue-collar background. It's, you know, whatever your options are, you know, take the best option, but, you know, you're not guaranteed anything by, you know, what your desire is to do.
Well, I agree with everything that Tom just said right there because there are no guarantees. I was drafted twice, once out of high school by Kansas City Royals and also in college as well. And, you know, 90-mile-per-hour right-handers, they're a dime a dozen in the Major League Baseball. There's no guarantee, you know, you would have made it if you chose that path. I played baseball because I love playing it. Even when I played football in college, I came home every summer, played in college leagues, played in semi-pro leagues for baseball because I love the sport. But for me, you know, football was just the challenge. Playing the position of quarterback was challenging to me, and I wanted to pursue that and continue it. So Antoine Randall is somewhat backed away from those statements today because he didn't want it to feel like he, you know, it's some hard luck story, like he's hurting right now, because he's not. Because there are many great things about the sport of football, and I say it all the time, you know, even growing up in Pop Warner, you know, the commitment, dedication, sportsmanship, respect to the game. It's so many disciplines and qualities that it teaches you for the game of life, which is far bigger than any football game.
Getting tweets asking me to ask you guys, why aren't you guys coaching? We'll get your answers next on Bears All Access with Tom Thayer and Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zaidman on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Our final few moments here of Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, alongside former Bears quarterback Jim Miller and 85 Bear Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zaidman. Got this question on Twitter today as you guys were talking, and it says, I think both of you would make great coaches, and if you did get a job as a head coach, who would be the one teammate that you would want to bring on your staff? I know this is a question you guys both want to answer. We'll start with you, Tom, and then go to Jim.
You know, for me, is when I was going to retire, I discovered surfing, and that kind of occupied my attention there, just trying to think of an activity that would have the same excitement. You know, and sometimes I wish that I was coaching, but selfishly, I would only want to coach for the Bears. And if I was going to hire one teammate, you know, I'd probably have to hire Hilgi. Jay, just because he's got experience from his dad to his uncle to his older brother, his younger brother, and that's what guys do, is they kind of surround themselves with a coach that has a great deal of experience at a lot of different aspects of the football life, because there's a lot of lessons that need to be learned other than just, you know, coming out of your stance or learning your assignments, breaking the huddle.
For me, well, like Tom, you kind of, for me, you know, I had to decompress, and I had to get, quite frankly, I had to get healthy. I had to get a ton of surgeries that did not go well. So for me, it was just about getting healthy. I did have some opportunities, and at that point, I had already started doing a lot of broadcasting. So this is the path that I've chosen. You know, I would love to be an offensive coordinator, but, you know, now it's kind of late in the game to get involved in coaching. But last thing I'd say for a teammate, I always thought Mike Brown would be a hell of a coach, that safety. He was tremendous, focused, locked and loaded, great football player, and I think he would be a great coach when you look at Mike Brown.
The former Bear safety coaching kids in California, and I think they learned so much from him, lessons for life as well as football. For Jim and Tom, I'm Zach. Rick Camp on the other side of the partition helping us blast through the speakers of your radio. Tony, thank you very much. And, of course, Padge making it all happen. This has been Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to this Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by FanDuel, MasterCard, and Verizon.